Well, this is a great opportunity to welcome Robin, and so glad that I got to spend some time with you yesterday. That's why we do this, is that we get the privilege and the honor of getting to know Robin on a deeper level. There's so much about Robin I wouldn't have gotten to know about you had you not shared your story. And even though we got to hear from Phil when he was here, and this is quite a while back, if I remember correctly, and he made such an impression. And, of course, you did, too, last night. So would you all welcome Robin as she comes up to share with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here with you. Before I start, I just want to say how beautiful it is that this is a congregation and a church that has left space for lament. And I just want to thank you for that. That doesn't happen in every church. As a widow and as somebody who lives my life with grief, I have noticed more and more that in a lot of our churches, there's not space for that. We come in, we expect to celebrate, and that's lovely. We do come to church to worship God and to honor him, but we're not very good about leaving space for people to lament. And that those are holy spaces. I believe this was a holy moment this morning as God was here hearing our prayer requests and sharing our pain. So thank you for that. Thank you for being a beautiful example of that. I'm going to put my glasses on. Just know that I need my glasses to see my notes because I'm old, but I can't see you when I have my glasses on. So if you raise your hand or something at me, I may not see you. You might have to jump up and down. Let me first start by teaching you a phrase in French. I work in West Africa. Most of the countries I work in are native French speakers. This is because in Africa there are so many tribal languages and dialects that countries have chosen an official language to unite the whole country. So in the country of Togo, for example, where I lived and worked most recently, the country is about the size of the state of Virginia. There are 40 different languages, distinct languages. That doesn't even count the dialects. So this country has adopted an official language. They were colonized by the French, so French is their official language. The same is true for quite a few other African countries. So I want to teach you this phrase in French, and it goes like this. Are there any French speakers here? Am I the only one? No one else? Okay. It goes like this. On est ensemble. Say that with me. On est ensemble. It should be up on the screen behind me if we can get my PowerPoint running. On est ensemble translates literally, we are together. And in French, and if you were in France and you said that, a French person would just nod their head and smile. But in Africa, especially in Togo, this has a deeper meaning. This is a phrase that is used often in place of saying, you're welcome. So if I were to say, thank you, Pastor James and Tosh, for having me here, you might respond, oh, we are together. That's the answer. Thank you for letting me come and speak. Oh, we are together. And it is used as such a cultural expression of unity in the church and in the body of Christ in Togo. And I want to bring that here because I want us to understand this morning that when it comes to the mission of God, we are together. On est ensemble. What is this mission of God that we are part of? We all understand that missionaries go to the other side of the world and they tell people about Jesus. But I want to tell you something. Salvation of souls is only a tiny part of what the mission of God is. You see, when Eden fell and sin entered the world, everything was broken. It wasn't just a matter of sin and now God has to come and take care of the sin. Sin destroyed everything. It destroyed our relationship with God. It destroyed our relationship with one another. It destroyed our relationship with our environment, our world. It destroyed our relationship with ourselves. All of those ways that we view ourselves that are negative, that all comes about as a result of sin. And God's mission is to restore all that. You've probably heard the Hebrew word shalom, and you understand that that word means peace. But actually, in the Hebrew language, it means more than peace. It means wholeness. So when somebody wishes you shalom, they are wishing you more than just absence of conflict. They're wishing you wholeness. That is the mission of God. And when it comes to the mission of God, we are together, on est ensemble. We participate in God's mission. It doesn't matter whether we are here in Enterprise, Oregon, or whether we are in Salem or Portland or Springfield, Missouri, or Lomé, Togo, or to the ends of the earth. Onee Ensemble, we are part of God's mission. So what is my little part? What is my little teeny corner of that mission? Well, I want to share with you a vision statement. If we can go to the next one, thank you. What I do is I work for a healthy, child-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Africa. That's called my elevator pitch. That means if I got on an elevator with you and you said, what do you do? That's what I would tell you. That's enough time to get from floor one to floor five or so. A healthy, child-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Africa. But because we are all part of the mission of God, because on est ensemble, we are together, this is not just my mission, this is also your mission. So I want to talk a little bit more about this little mission that you participate in. Because as supporters and as partners of me in mission as a global worker, you are a part of this vision. You are a part of what God is doing. Let me back up and let me introduce myself first of all. Pastor's done a fabulous job of introducing me, but I want you to see a bit of my history. So if you would go to the next slide for me. My husband Phil and I served as children's pastors in the state of Oregon from 1994 to 1998. We were at Family Worship Center in North Bend, which is way out on the coast, and that's how we became part of the Oregon Ministry Network. In 1998, God called us into mission. We applied through the network, we were approved, and we became missionaries. And there you see our very first prayer card. It's not unusual for me to run across people who still have this prayer card tucked in their Bible. That picture was taken in 1998. We raised funds. So in 99, we were fundraising. At the end of 99, we went to language school in France. We spent a year learning language in a full immersion setting. That means no English allowed. Don't tell anybody, but we cheated at home. We did learn. We became functional. So I say right now I am functionally fluent. I am not a native French speaker, but I can survive. I can get along. There is our first term. We went to Ivory Coast. After that, we had a whole spew of things happen. So we continued to serve Africa. Go ahead to the next one for me. And there are some of our various prayer card pictures over the years. You see the kids start to grow up. And I love putting these up because it's like watching a timeline of our story and our ministry. You go from being elementary school kids to being high school and teenagers to the very first picture that was just the two of us. And that is us through the years, and now it's just me. In 2022, my husband passed away from lung cancer. When I say thank you for leaving space for lament, I mean it. I know what it's like to sit in a service where everybody else is rejoicing, to feel like you have nothing but tears. And God meets those tears as well. So thank you for that. And thank you for praying for him through cancer and for praying for me through the journey afterwards to figure out who I am. But I'm still here. God still has work for me to do, and there's still a mission and a job to be done. So I'm still here and I'm still doing it. And thank you for being a part of that. Thanks for being a part of this vision. Go ahead and go to the next one. This vision of a healthy, child-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Africa, because we are together. If that is our vision, let me break it down for you, because that's a lot of words. I'm a writer, and I love to write, and I played with that sentence so many times trying to make it shorter so that it would roll off your tongue a little better, and this was the best I could come up with. So there's a lot of words in there, so I want to break it down. Let's start first with why a church. Go ahead and go to the next one for me. Why is putting a church in every community part of the vision? Well, let me tell you this. A church is a part, in fact, it is a necessary part of a flourishing community. In communities where there are churches, education levels go up. Health levels go up. Community development goes up. Things like good water sources and good medical care and good resources, all of that goes up in places where there are flourishing churches. There are a lot of churches in Africa. Some people get the idea that missionaries go to places where there are no churches. And actually, that is true. Some missionaries do that. And there are a lot of places where there is no church. But there are also a lot of places where there is. Africa has 90,000 Assemblies of God churches on the continent. 90,000. They vary from every level of maturity, from brand new baby churches just started, all the way to mature churches celebrating their 100th or their 150th anniversary as a national organization. So when I say national church, I'm referring to all of the churches within one nation, the organization itself. I will use that term from time to time. Just know when I say national church, that's what I'm referring to. They come in all different shapes and sizes. There are huge buildings that will seat thousands of people. More common, there are smaller buildings that will seat a few hundred people. And also very common, there are little straw and thatch huts that seat a few local people from the few local villages. But what they all have in common is that they are all part of the mission of God. When I say en ensemble, it includes them as well. Why a church? Well, I want to tell you a story about a little girl named Jeanne. Please put up the next slide. There we go. This little girl's name is Jeanne. This is a story that illustrates why churches help communities. Jeanne lived in a little tiny village in the very far north of Togo. Now, I don't want you to get a mistaken impression of Africa. People think of Africa, they think of mud hut villages and lions and elephants roaming by. And those places exist, but they are more few and far between than the urban settings. Africa's urbanizing quickly. More and more people are moving to the cities, and there is a rising middle class. This story starts in one of those little rural villages, but please don't think that that is what all of Africa is like. So we went to this village because a pastor from this village came to our house in the capital city in Lomé, Togo. His name was Pastor Klutz. We did not know him, but he and his wife stopped by to visit us one day. Not uncommon for pastors to show up at our door unannounced. That's a very cultural thing. Normally, it just means they want to say hello. Sometimes it means they want something or they need something. So Pastor Klutz and his wife came to our door. We invited them in. We served them tea. We got to chatting. And when the moment of business came, Pastor cleared his throat and he said, "Madame and Pastor, I'm here because I am asking you to help us. I pastor a church in the poorest part of Togo." To say the poorest part of Togo is a big statement because Togo as a whole country is poor. But this is a very remote place. And he said, "In this place, traditional culture is still alive and well. And we have a problem. The problem in our village is child marriage. It's illegal in Togo. However, these villages are so remote and tradition is so strong that it still happens. It's very hard to enforce these rules." So he said, "In my village and in some of the villages surrounding, girls as young as 10, 11, and 12 years old are being sold in marriage, quite literally sold, to men who are quite a bit older than they are, and they're given as third or fourth wives often. Their lives are terrible. This is a very abusive situation. They are the lowest of the low status in the household. If they get pregnant, it is their responsibility to have the child and to take care of the child. There's no medical care available. If something happens to the child, it's their fault. This is a terrible situation." Then he pulled out his phone and he showed us a picture. He said, "I want to do something to help these children. I want to get them out of this situation. So right now, I have invited them, my wife and I have invited them to come and stay at our house in the evenings. They go out in the fields to work during the day. They're not allowed to go to school, the boys as well. Everybody's out in the fields. They go out in the fields in the day to work, then they're allowed to come. They come to my house at night and I feed them and I tell them Bible stories and then they sleep at my house." And he showed us a picture, and it was a tiny little living room with a cement floor, and it was children sleeping like sardines, back to front, like spoons all across the floor. He said, "Can you help me?" So we said yes. I tell you, in 30 years of children's ministry in Africa, I have never wanted to empty my pockets so fast when I heard that story. Typically, we don't throw money at a problem until we fully understand the problem. But that day, I was like, "What do I have in the safe? What do we have? Let's give this man anything." We decided that caution was the best course of action first, and so we decided we needed to visit the village. So that's the setting for when this picture was taken. We pulled up in the village, we got out of the car, and the pastor met us at our car with this little girl holding onto his hand. We were the only car for miles around. In this village, maybe one person had a motorcycle and there were a lot of bicycles. No cars, way out. Thank you, Speed the Light, for our four-wheel drive vehicle, because these were some pretty rough roads. We got out of the car, and this little girl, Jean, was holding on to Pastor's hand. She's not his daughter. She's one of the little girls from the village, but she follows him around like a puppy, is what he said. And so we said hello to her, and we reached back into the car, and we grabbed a piece of candy like a Tootsie Roll. It was lemon, but it was like a Tootsie Roll, and handed it to her. She did not speak French. Children will learn their tribal language first, and they usually learn French when they go to school. Since she wasn't in school and she wasn't school age yet, she didn't know French. So we didn't speak her language and she didn't speak ours. So she said something to the pastor and we said, what did she say? And he kind of laughed and he said she wants to pray over the candy. So we all folded our hands and bowed our heads and prayed over a Tootsie Roll the way that you would pray over Thanksgiving dinner. And for the rest of the day, she carried that candy around in her hand. Pastor said she's probably never been given a piece of candy before. She probably, he said, only has the outfit that she's wearing. That's probably the only clothes she owns. Her father left the village while her mother was still pregnant with her and her twin brother to go find work in the city, and nobody had heard from him since. So she's out in this remote village living alone with a mother, an unmarried, or a mother without a partner, very vulnerable little girl. She followed Phil around for the rest of the day, so that's what those other pictures are. She just decided, she latched right onto him, but she went everywhere he went. He gave her his hat, and she wore it around. This little girl is a very good example about why a church is important in a community, because we were able to help that pastor. We helped him with some funding, and we helped him to purchase some land. And what he did was he took some of the funding, and he moved 54 girls out of that village down to the capital city, and he put them in group homes where they could go to school during the week, and they could go to church on Sunday, where they were fed and dressed, and they were out of danger. And then he took the land and he started a little farm. And even today, the farm is farmed, and that's that money. The food feeds the children, and what's left is sold, and the money helps to support his ministry. I tell you this story because this picture was taken in 2016. Jean was about 3 years old that day. Nobody quite knew exactly how old she was, but given her size and her development, I guessed she was maybe three. That means that she would be about 12 or 13 now, which means she would be right at the age where she would be vulnerable to being sold into marriage. But she's not, because of a healthy, thriving church in her community. It's not just about the salvation of souls. And the salvation of souls is very important. I don't want to diminish that in any way. But it is also about a church that builds up a community that helps to restore the shalom that was lost when sin entered the world in communities. And that is true whether you're in a remote village in Togo or whether you're in a remote farm town in Oregon. That is the mission of God. And that is why I work for a healthy, child-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Africa. The next part, child-friendly. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, you're ahead of me. Good job. Child-friendly. I always get a little bit of pushback or a little bit of surprised eyebrows. It's a good thing I can't see you very well because I don't know if I saw surprised eyebrows. But I hear a lot of people say, isn't every church child-friendly? The answer to that is no. American churches are a lot more child-friendly than in other parts of the world, but there are still churches that are not very child-friendly. And this is true in Africa as well. There are some churches that are doing an amazing job. There are other churches that don't see the need to minister to their own children because their children can't be saved, or because the infant mortality rate is so high that their child might die, so why bother? That's not the norm, but it does exist. The norm is somewhere in between. The norm is usually we realize that we should do something, but we don't quite know what we should do. That is why I work for a child-friendly church. Let me tell you a story. Go ahead and pop up the next one for me. This little boy's name is Juriel. And the story is about Juriel, but it's also about his pastor. Juriel attends a large Assemblies of God church in the capital city of Lomé, Togo. His pastor's name is Pastor Evu. Pastor Evu is the director of the Children's Ministry Department for the whole country of Togo. Now, he's a senior pastor because in Togo, they don't have enough pastors. They have about 2,500 churches. They have about 1,500 pastors. So if you are qualified to be a pastor, you pastor a church, at least one, sometimes two and three. So his pastor is also the director of the Children's Ministry Department, and his pastor understands what it takes to have a child-friendly church and why it's important to be child-friendly. Now, by child-friendly, we mean a place where children are seen, where they are safe and where they are loved, where they are full participants in the community of Christ, and not just second-class citizens, not just cast aside, but they are full members, where their spiritual needs and really all of their needs, their holistic needs, are being attended to. That's Pastor Evu's church, where Juliel attends, is one of those churches. And the reason that it is one of those churches is because way back in the 80s, before there were really even any missionaries in Togo working for children, Pastor Evu was a lay worker in a village church in Togo. And in this church, it was a tiny little building, a little thatch building with reed walls. They didn't really have space for their children, so they sent the children outside to play during church. Now, the problem with doing that was that this particular church was located right next to one of the main highways where they move all of the goods from the ports in the south up to the desert in the north. So huge, heavy trucks going down this road, most of them overloaded, two times the height they're supposed to have. And if you can imagine what happens when you send children outside to play right next to a road with big, heavy trucks, that's exactly what happened. Two times in 2 months, he tells us, children were hit and killed by trucks passing right in front of the church during church. And he said, he was just a lay worker, not a pastor at that point. He said, we have to do something about this. This is not okay. We don't accept this. So he started a Sunday school, and the idea of a Sunday school spread. And today, Pastor Evu is the director of the Children's Ministry Department in the country of Togo. And Juriel attends his church. We have had the privilege of visiting with his church. And I snapped this video that I really want to share with you just because it's adorable and because it shows you the value of a church that values children and a church that is training them and attending to their spiritual needs. He's going to tell you his memory verse, and he's going to tell it in French because he speaks French, but I've translated on the slide for you. So if you could go ahead and run that video clip for me. If it's going to run, there it goes. There you have it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the background, you can hear his teachers telling him, go ahead, they're encouraging him. You also hear a lot of noise in the background. That's because the Sunday school meets right behind the sanctuary, and the favorite volume of the microphones is 11, so it's noisy. It just is. That's noisy. But there you go. This is the value of a child-friendly church within walking distance of every child in Africa, a church that values children, that sees their needs, that treats them as full members of the body of Christ. But why walking distance? Why? This is the one that American people generally have a little more time immediately grasping, that requires a little more explanation. So let me explain it to you. First of all, let's put up the next slide, please. First of all, transportation is an issue. Any